What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Greetings. Greetings to all of you. If you're on the East Coast right now, you're probably not watching this till you wake up. But for those watching live, I truly appreciate this, as do the rest of us, as we are here for the UFC 265 live post-fight show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck, not in Command Center 2.0. I am at a hotel in East Windsor, Connecticut tonight, recapping UFC 265 with all of you, being joined by Sean Alshadi in Phoenix, Arizona. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. It's a little bit less late here as it is for you, so I'm probably doing a little bit better than you are.
Yeah, the sun's still out where you're at. I don't want to hear it. AK Lee, what's up, man? How's Canada right now? Look at that fresh
it's
fade,
great.
My friend.
Thank you. It's great. Mike, your voice seems a little... What's going on? Your voice seems a little off. I don't understand. I feel like you've been nothing but doing but sitting around all day. Why? I don't understand. Why is your voice so a little raspy?
Yes. I've ring announced. I did Twitter spaces. I've been talking for 8-9 hours straight, but we battle through. Speaking of battling through, E. Casey Lydon joins us from Houston, Texas. How are you, my friend?
Houston! That's all I got.
There you go. That's all you got.
That's all right.
All right.
That's all we need. That's all we want.
I'm in the central time zone, so it's not quite as late as you guys, but it's still stupid late. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're on fight week time, so it's, yeah. I mean, you're still good to go for another 2 or 3 hours. But, gentlemen, Casey, you and I have talked about this already. AK, we haven't heard from you yet, but I want to start with Sean Alshadi because on our MMA Fighting Twitter spaces, we watched the co-main event together, watched Jose Aldo do the damn thing. But the main event, Ciryl Gane delivers one of the most dominant performances you will ever see in a title fight. This was one-way traffic. Me and Casey went through the striking discrepancies on the press conference stream. It was like 112 to 16 were the total numbers. Just ridiculous from Ciryl Gane.
You see those like on ground strikes, but standing strikes, that's just unheard of. You know, it's just, sorry, I'm tired.
Yeah. And you can add like half of those strikes took place in like the final 30 seconds during that final flurry where Lewis was pretty much battling for his life with his back against the wall. But just your overall thoughts on what we saw from Ciryl Gane tonight, because I think he surprised a lot of people. Like, I think we all expected this fight to go a certain way, and Ciryl Gane just kind of flipped the script on everybody, did he not?
Yeah, he certainly did. I mean, all of us on the preview show were believers in Derek Lewis. And I think the main thing for all of us was really that it just felt like it wasn't quite the time, right? Or the right time yet for Ciryl Gane, right? Like, he hadn't gone through the battles. He hadn't been really tested and pushed in a way that we like to see these guys be pushed and tested before we think they can reach this sort of mountaintop. But you're right, man. I mean, you mentioned the punch stats. I think the bigger stat to me, even than that 100 and something to 16 or whatever it ended up being, was the accuracy, man, because he landed his strikes at a staggering 80% clip in terms of significant strikes. Of all of that, of everything, that to me is the most impressive of all of this. Like all 32 of his leg strikes found the mark. Just everything Ciryl Gane was doing in there tonight was working to a T. It was as close to a flawless victory, a perfect performance as you really find from a fight that lasts as long as this did. Because this one almost went a full three rounds. Like this was about 14 minutes. And at no point, at any point in it, was Ciryl Gane in trouble? Was he hurt? Was he even touched, really? He came away from this looking like a man who just, you know, had some dinner. Like he didn't look like he just got in a fight with the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, the knockout king, the all-time, you know, heavyweight leader in knockouts and all of this. It was just absolutely a masterclass of footwork, accuracy, distance management, intelligence. And I think the thing that stands out most of all really is just you don't see heavyweights move in the way that Ciryl Gane moves, right? Like the fluidity with which he approaches this game and how he just confuses people with his footwork and really just sort of traps people in that space. Derek Lewis never got started. He really didn't. From Jump Street, Derek Lewis kind of looked like he was lost in the sauce there. And that old tried and true method of just, you know, biding your time and waiting for that right moment to strike, that works up until it doesn't. And Derek Lewis built a legitimately great UFC career off that. But it, watching tonight, it felt like he never stood a chance once that thing got going.
AK, you are the prince of positivity. And it's hard in this space to find a fighter that just oozes positivity. And Ciryl Gane is exactly that. And I loved what he had to say at the press conference. This is a sport, all right? He basically treats heavyweight championship fights, or interim heavyweight championship fights in this case, like a recreation basketball game. Like it's just like a smile on his face. It's just him going out and playing a round of golf. Like he's just so calm and relaxed out there. Like how big is that for a guy like Ciryl Gane, who's just 10 fights into his professional career, on knocking on the doorstep of fighting for an undisputed title in his 11th pro fight? Like how cool is that? Just seeing a guy so positive and just seeing him so loose, but yet so young in his career to this point.
Bon gamin. Good boy. You know, he epitomizes that. He says he wants to live his life like an adult, with the spirit of a child. And that might not seem like an attitude that's conducive to cage fighting, but my goodness, the man makes it work. Mike, we had a saying, you know, back in my old slow pitch softball days. I used to say, it's not even that funny. You know, that's a 3:45 in the morning Eastern time laugh that I just got there out of these guys. But the saying was, practice is the real game. Practice is the real game. So you're asking, what is the... Have you guys never played rec league?
I just love you comparing your athletic experiences in slow pitch softball to what Ciryl Gane did tonight.
It's one for one. It's one for one. Or it's like
you guys are really the same person, really.
It's like apples and oranges, like Dana White might say. I'm not going to elaborate on it. We had a saying: practice is the real game, right? And honestly, I think that applies at all levels. I think if you really love what you're doing and you're really effing good at it, like Ciryl Gane is. All the hard work is done in the gym. All of the hard work is done in the training, the practice, everything. So when fight night comes around, I really believe it. When, as Mike put it, it's just like this game to him. It's just like he's having fun in there. Everything's you know, going off on all cylinders, as it was tonight. His confidence probably only growing with every round. Like I'm sure he was very respectful of Derek Lewis and his reputation, of course, for knockouts out of nowhere. But otherwise, he was in complete control. And I bet the fight itself was you know, easier than he expected it to be. And I say this as a credit to Gane. Not to insult Derek Lewis. I saw a lot of course negativity after. I understand people were disappointed. They didn't get to see, you know, Derek Lewis really land anything substantial. So it becomes, you know, the whole, oh, how did he get here? And oh, he's disappointing performance. He can't win the big one, all that stuff. But the emphasis really should be on how good Ciryl Gane is, and give credit to Dana White at the post-fight press conference for essentially saying the same thing. He was asked, like, you know, do you think Derek Lewis is a bit off tonight? And he's like, look, this had more to do with Ciryl Gane and the level he's at than any shortcomings of Derek Lewis. So great promotion by Dana White for once. Let's give him credit. He did a really, really good job of massaging the situation, promoting Gane, promoting Derek Lewis. They probably will be back at the Toyota Center sooner rather than later, given the multi-fight deal. And Derek Lewis will be there, so no reason to downgrade the man after what was already a tough night. But Cyril Gane, just amazing, 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 amazing performance. Really can't say enough about it.
Let me just add really quickly too.
Oh, go ahead.
What impresses me the most about all of this, as we sort of sit back and reflect and look on sort of the road that this guy's taken, is the timeline of all of it, right? Because when Cyril Gane made his MMA debut, do you know when that was? Like, that was literally Daniel Cormier had just knocked out Stipe Miocic to win the heavyweight title. Like, that was like 3 weeks after that. That's how recent all of this was. He hadn't even made his MMA debut at the time DC was doing that. Like, that is crazy to me, man. This road that he has been on, how fast we have watched this guy really mature from just this, you know, like mountain of just raw potential that he was when he came into the UFC to now one of the best heavyweights in the world who's just doing this so calmly and coolly in front of our eyes. And really, like, these last three fights, right? Because it really has come and culminated over these last three fights over the last 7 months. Rosenstruck, Volkov, and Lewis, like, all three of those dudes are so obscenely dangerous just in every regard. And they looked like they didn't even belong in the same sport as Cyril Gane when they were in there with him. Like, it is just crazy what this guy has done in 3 years. And I think we also have to give credit to his coach, Ferdinand Lopez, who has now done this twice with two different men from the streets of Paris. Like, of all the places you find these incredible heavyweights who are probably going to go down by the end of their careers as some of the greatest heavyweights we've seen, like, to find these two dudes in the streets of Paris and in a matter of a couple of years lead both of them to UFC title shots. And now, you know, one of them already has gold and one of them kind of has gold, but not really, but is about to fight for it. Like, that's crazy, man. That is absolutely crazy.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It's a movie. It's a Hollywood script. The way that this is, I know we'll get into it, but the way that this is sort of coalesced and culminated into this fight now, where you have these narratives of sort of these two ex-teammates, ex-training partners, guys who really, again, came from the streets of Paris where no heavyweight MMA, MMA fighters are coming from. Yeah. And then Francis leaves and it's kind of on messy terms. And then sort of the understudy is now getting this chance to exact vengeance for the gym and for Lopez and this whole team. Like, you can't write this stuff, man. It's incredible.
We'll get to the aftermath in a moment. I'm still not over AK softball analogy. I mean, he's definitely an interim batting champion in the Toronto B League, developmental league. But
AK said, like, for slow pitch softball practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, when you're an elite athlete like, yeah, Alexander K. Lee,
yes,
things are done a certain way, and you expect them, yes, to be done a certain
thank
way.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah. You understand. Thank you.
Yeah, AK woke up every day and took 500 tee swings, and he was ready to go. Yeah.
You use different size bats too. You use different size bats. You different weights, and then it builds up the speed.
Yeah, absolutely. Casey, where does Derek Lewis go from here? I mean, tough. I mean, this was not a good night for him. I mean, again, all testament goes to Cyril Gane and what he was able to do tonight. And maybe Derek Lewis did feel the pressure fighting in Houston, but I don't think that made any difference in the result of this fight. You could have had this fight anywhere, and I think it would have gone the same way. But where does he go now after a loss like this? Second shot at UFC gold, whether interim or not, it just was not his night in any way, shape, or form tonight. What do you do now?
I picked Derek Lewis to win, and I think all of us were shocked. Not shocked that Gane won the fight, but like, just he won it dominantly and kind of exciting too. And I actually feel bad for Derek Lewis. I mean, I know he got a decent paycheck, but like, that was just, he lost. He didn't even get to show up tonight. And it wasn't like, if he would have got knocked down in 30 seconds, that would have been like, oh, he got caught for lucky punch. But losing like this, yeah, just like, it made you feel like Derek Lewis, I guess that's why Cyril Gane so good. It made you feel like Derek Lewis, like, why was he even there tonight? Like, he clearly sucks. So where he goes from here, he goes to main eventing fight night cards. I don't know. It's going to be with us for a while with Derek Lewis. And I think that when he got dominated and, you know, absolutely, you know, mauled by DC, you know, we accepted that. You know, it's like, well, DC's a grappler, you know, and, you know, we knew Derek Lewis had his faults and everything. But this was just wild. I mean, I don't know. Derek Lewis, yeah, he just has to heal up his leg and just sit out for maybe a few months. And I don't know. Yeah. Book him against Tanner Boser. I don't know. I hope he comes back. I mean, Derek Lewis is already just, I'm sure like when he got into the sport and where he is now, he's kind of playing with house money. He has to completely exceed any expectations that he had from the first day he started, fight mixed martial arts. So, I don't know. I feel bad, but I think I wanted that Derek Lewis story. I wanted it. I think as journalists, we love that kind of story, but Shirogane filled that gap. And now we have an amazing story right there. And, the sport moves on.
Yeah. And Derek Lewis is so nonchalant. It's almost like he doesn't care about wins or losses. And a lot of times he had some injuries. He had a sore back, like a really bad back for a long time. Took the DC fight on super short notice. It was a chance to headline an MSG. But I feel like this loss, this performance,
it stings. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. This is a soul searching type of loss.
Cause he tried. I feel like before he was just like, oh no, swing and bang. This stuff's easy, whatever, you know, but like, you could feel like, no, this is, he knew if he wins tonight, you know, the DC fight, yeah, you know, he's injured at short notice, but he wins tonight, it really changes his life. You know, at this point, you know, he was like this icon for the city. You know, when he fought DC, he was kind of an oddity, but now, you know, he was Derek Lewis now. And like, just to be so close to legend status in Houston and just the sport in general, that's gotta be tough for anyone. That's just a tough loss. It's a really tough loss.
I think what's crazy about what's different was going to this one is for once Derek Lewis bought into the kind of narratives that us in the media are constantly shoveling out there. I think for most of his career, he's pretty immune to that stuff. Like, you know, we've all written all kinds of stories about Derek Lewis or tweeted about it or talked about Derek Lewis in these shows saying like, oh, this is what this fight means for Derek Lewis. This is what this fight means for his career. I don't think he's ever given a crap about that, or at least not openly said it. And this week he actually did say on multiple occasions, like, yeah, I understand. This is a big deal. This is a big deal in Houston. This is this is my chance to win the big one. Cause I think, you know, he didn't last time against Cormier. And it just you just don't hear Derek Lewis talk about that stuff normally. He's just joking around most of the time and just being a fighter's fighter, as it were. This is really the first time I've ever seen him care about kind of what we think, kind of what the public thinks of his fight. And being hometown, of course, it was a huge factor. So it mattered. It had nothing to do with the performance. I think the best version of Shirogane beats the best version of Derek Lewis any day. But to say he wasn't affected by this storyline that we're talking about would be inaccurate. I think it had to matter a bit.
Sean, let me ask you this, because we all went to this fight thinking it would go a certain way. Like, if Shirogane won, he would win in a way that a lot of us expected to. He'd just kind of pick Lewis apart, outpoint him, maybe win a decision. No one really saw him doing what he did tonight, as we all sort of alluded to. But I got to tell you, man, just – like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, hell, even a week ago, the thought of Shirogane fighting Francis Ngannou was cool only in storyline for me. But after that performance tonight, I am all in on Francis Ngannou versus Shirogane. I am so intrigued by this fight. I can't wait for it. What are your thoughts on that? Like, are you feeling the same way I am right now?
Yeah, I agree with you in that regard, right? Because you're not wrong. Like, the last few fights for Shirogane have been very, what's the right word? Methodical, right? Like, they've been they've played out in a certain way that probably isn't the most aesthetically pleasing, especially when we come to heavyweight fights and we expect swinging and banging and knockouts and big things like that. When Francis Ngannou is the king of the division and Derek Lewis is doing all this craziness, like, that's what we expect from our heavyweights. And Shirogane is not that guy. I mean, he can be, and we've seen him be that guy in past fights and even a little bit in this third round tonight, but it was much more of a patient and intelligent approach that he was taking. And that's frankly just not what MMA fans want. That's not what anybody who's watching the sport wants from their heavyweight action. So I can see where you're coming from on that. And I agree with you in that regard. Although I do wonder too, like it almost seems like it's kind of gone overboard in the other direction now. Cause I even threw out on Twitter tonight, and obviously fight night stuff is very reactionary, but I threw out on Twitter like, hey, early predictions for this fight. And I would say like 80% of the reactions were, oh, Cyril Gane's going to win against Francis Ngannou very easily. And that to me feels crazy. Like that to me feels like we've already forgotten how obscene Francis Ngannou is in there. Like the dude is unlike any human being I have ever seen in my entire career, maybe my entire life. Like a lot of people already seem to be counting out Francis Ngannou now, which is a very crazy place to have come to and one I didn't expect us to reach maybe ever, but at least not this soon, like a couple months after this dude just starched Stipe Miocic in you know, no time at all. So it is an interesting dynamic. And going back to the storylines that I mentioned earlier, where it's just all these different things at play for this fight with the former teammates and coming from the streets of Paris. Like if they could run this fight in Paris, that would be such an insane scene. That would be such a cool way to have the first UFC event ever in Paris. I highly doubt that ever happens with what's going on in the world and sort of where MMA is at. I know MMA now is more accepted in Paris than it was, or in France in particular, than it was, you know, a couple of years ago, but I highly doubt that happens. But if it does, that would just be the coolest sight ever. Like I would be so happy for both men to be able to get that opportunity like that.
AK, because of how the world is, if you're the UFC, do you just put the rockets to these guys and just try to get this fight booked ASAP? Like I know Dana said ASAP, but are you trying to get this one in before the year is over just to sort of throw gasoline on the fire that already is Cyril Gane? Because like, no, I don't know if anyone, just listening to Sean and in the poll results, I mean, I'm shocked. 80-20 for Cyril Gane is, wow, is insane. That is an insane number. So just, if you're the UFC, just based on the reaction that Cyril is getting right now, are you just doing everything you can to get this fight booked as soon as possible, get it in before the calendar flips to 2022?
If in this scenario I'm magically Dana White or the UFC, what I'm doing is opening up the checkbook for John Jones and making that fight happen. But I guess you're saying within reason. Yes, if we're assuming the Jones and Ngannou fight is not part of this scenario, yeah, of course. Before the end of the year is ideal. Strike while the iron is hot and all that. Again, I don't think a Gane and Ngannou fight ever reaches the magnitude of Jones and Ngannou. So I'm not sure if how much of an impetus there is to put it together. But getting Ngannou back in there, cut this crap that they were doing tonight with, he's on vacation. So that's why, you know, if he wants to take his time off and have vacation, relax, it's okay. We're kind of moving on with that.
Dude, they threw him under the bus in the first 15 seconds of the pay-per-view. Horrible. It was ridiculous, man. What the hell's going on? This dude just like won his title a couple of months ago against the heavyweight GOAT. Like this is crazy. We don't even need to get into it, but it's absurd.
Fortunately, I have a lot of faith in MMA fans that they're smarter than that, that they didn't buy into that stupid clip, and that they know that Ngannou is still the guy to beat. Even though, again, like apparently 80% think Gane will beat him. If Ngannou is the guy to beat, as it were. But yeah, no, I think that this is recency bias at its highest. I think if the fight gets booked and it gets closer, it'll be a little bit more reasonable. But it would not surprise me to see Gane favored. I do think he has the right kind of style to be the undisputed champion at heavyweight. I personally would pick Ngannou, but again, I'd have to wait till the fight got closer to really break it down. But I don't blame people for picking Gane. I tweeted that, look, he could become the stand-up heavyweight version of George St. Pierre. And I'm not just saying that because both guys have, you know, origins in French Canada, but there's he's so methodical. There's a style that's not always going to be appealing to fans, but also a dominance there that I think people will have no choice but to respect. So I feel like if he can get over that Ngannou hurdle, I really don't know who is going to beat this guy over the next like 3 years. And so I understand the hype. I'm buying into
that. That is a massive if, man. That is a massive,
I'm picking Ngannou.
What is going on right now with this Francis Ngannou? I just can't understand how many people are discounting.
What has he done lately?
If he wants
to fight,
he just has to call Dana. If he wants to fight, you just call Dana. Jeez.
Of course.
It's that simple.
Can't force him to
apples
fight.
And oranges. Apples and oranges. Right, Casey? Apples and oranges.
Okay, when Dana said that to me, I gotta admit, I was kind of almost a little confused. I was like, okay. I was just like, what? I didn't know what to take of
it. Oh, man. But we'll see what happens there. I mean, great performance from Gan. Star-making performance. The man has arrived. That is an arrival from Bongamin. Is that how you say it, AK?
I say Bongame. Bongame. Okay. I don't know what cool. I don't know what Bruce Buffer was saying. Bruce Buffer was like, he said it twice, and it was just like, I don't want to say he was wrong. It was so loud, maybe I just couldn't hear him, but it just sounded like, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, oh, all right, close enough. They're in the arena. No one can tell what he's saying anyway.
Right.
Before we move on, I know it's late. Surreal Gan walking out to John, Mike Jones. Still.
Oh, that was so good, man. That was such a troll job. That was the only time that song has ever been booed in Houston.
That, I was like, oh, you can't. It was so conflicting. That is just like, that's I don't know.
It's fantastic. That was fantastic. Really well. Wait, done.
Okay, I'll admit at the press conference, because he this didn't come out of nowhere. At the press conference, Gan wore a DJ Screw shirt, and I was about to ask him. I was like, yo, what's up with that shirt, bro? But like, I was just like, forget. I want to go home. and then the freaking French reporter at the post presser asked about it, and like, I was like, no, man, I'm from Houston. I get to ask about the Texas songs, but man, what a troll. But apparently he's a fan. He was like, he even name dropped Big Mo, and Big Mo's kind of a deep cut. So I was like, all right, maybe, I don't know. But hey, Surreal Gan's my new favorite fighter. What are you gonna do?
A plus night for Surreal Gan, no doubt about it. But
what does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Sean, I'm just going to make this very simple. Jose Aldo, go.
Oh my God, dude, that man is on year 17. Like, how crazy is it? Year 17. We think about what we just saw on Saturday night, and then like consider that number. Like, really, actually consider that number. Like, that's not even like a short 17 either, right? Like, that's a long 17 against almost all of it competed against like the top echelon of fighters in the world. Split across two different divisions, both of which premium is placed on speed and like fast twitch reactions and just all that sort of thing. Like, those are the most important traits in those divisions. And Jose Aldo is still doing it. 17 years in, he's manhandling contenders. Like, it's going out of style. And to me, it's just incredible, man, because like, that was an absolutely brilliant performance. I know that maybe he didn't get a finish and whatever, but like, the fact that Jose Aldo at this point in his career is still coming out here and sweeping the judges' scorecards against a guy like Pedro Munhoz, who is a tough out for anybody, and set new personal best too with the 114 significant strikes that he lands, which is apparently more than any of the other 26 UFC or WEC appearances that he has, of which 15 of them are 5-round fights. Like, the fact that Jose Aldo has never hit somebody as much as he hit Pedro Munhoz tonight, like, that's crazy to me. And this is a guy who we have written off. I say the royal we in the MMA community so many different times in his career. I saw so much Jose Aldo slander on the timeline this week for fight week of people just talking about him like he's washed up and like he's not still a relevant figure. And yet every time we go down this road, this man figured out how to evolve, how to reinvent himself, how to stay relevant and stay right where he is at the among the best fighters in the world. It is effing incredible to me. Because, I mean, we even going back a couple of years when he announced this whole thing about bantamweight, I'm going to go down to bantamweight. That seemed like the most crazy decision and the most wrongheaded, just bullheaded, reactionary decision that you had ever seen, right? Because this is a guy who struggled going through the depths of hell to make 145 every fight week. And if we ever change division, it was going to be to go up to lightweight, not to go down to 235 freaking pounds. And yet he did it, and he still looks tremendous down here. The speed, the accuracy, the defense, the kicks, I mean, the hellacious body work he was putting on Pedro Munhoz, it's all still there, man, and it's all still working. We saw it against Marlon Vera. We saw it in the early stages against Peter Yan, too, before that fight sort of turned. Like, Jose Aldo is a remarkable human being. He is a living legend, and tonight it was just one more on the resume, and I can't say enough about it. I am so damn impressed with this man. Give me Corey Sanhagen or give me Rob Font next. Let's just have some fun with this, because what can you say, dude? Jose Aldo, man, he's the king. He's the king of Rio for a reason.
AK, you know what was so fun about that fight? What was so fun about
everything?
That fight?
Everything.
Was Jose Aldo was dominating the feeling out process. Like, just the feeling out process. Like, he's just trying to, like, answer questions in his own mind about, like, different things that Pedro Munhoz is going to bring him. He's winning that and dominating it. And then at the end of the first round, probably with, like, 30 seconds left in the first round, you immediately saw that switch flip. His confidence rose. He had Pedro Munhoz figured out at the end of the first round, and it just got better and better and better. What stood out to you most from Jose Aldo's win tonight?
I mean, it's just moments where it just looked like he hadn't lost a step, you know? I mean, I think there were some growing pains down at 135. Some would argue that there wasn't. I mean, a lot of people thought he won the Marlon Moraes fight. I thought it was close. I'm fine with it going either way. I didn't think it was a robbery, but in the minds of a lot of many, he's 3-1 at 135. He put up a very competitive fight against Piotr Jan, someone who was definitely favored to beat him. That went all the way to the fifth round. Piotr Jan outlasted him. He's the younger guy. So that wasn't too surprising. But either way, in four fights at 135, Aldo has looked great. He's looked like the guy that we call, I think is one of the five greatest pound-for-pound fighters of all time. So I don't know. I don't know if anything really stood out. I kind of like what you said where, man, when you saw, you know, you saw that old version of, I should say vintage version of Aldo, when those lasers get locked in. And Munhoz, by the way, Munhoz, to his credit, was never like out of the fight, but you just got the idea that once Aldo got to the, you know, to the level where he can get to, that was a level that Munhoz couldn't reach. And that's just how good Jose Aldo is. What really stood out to me was after the fight, I tweeted something like, please Jose Aldo fight forever. And literally like the exact same second, Sean tweeted, Jose Aldo forever. So it's just like, just back to, we were all feeling it tonight. And again, it's a shame someone has to win a fight like that and lose a fight like that. Pedro Munhoz is a gentleman fighter, a super exciting fighter in his own right. But boy, I think a lot of us were glad to see, Jose Aldo, his first win streak at 135. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is not easy to do that against a guy like Pedro Munhoz. And what Jose Aldo did tonight was he actually made Pedro Munhoz believe he couldn't win. Like in that third round, Pedro he went out there and just got through the round, but he knew he wasn't going to win. And that's so hard to do against a guy like that. But that just shows you how good Jose Aldo looked tonight. It was just a phenomenal performance, record-setting numbers, so forth and so on. But Casey, for the interest of time, I want to talk about Vicente Luque because he deserves some time. What a performance he had tonight against Michael Chiesa. What a wild fight that was, because in the early stages, Michael Chiesa was outstriking Vicente Luque. He was landing good combinations. He was moving around laterally, side to side. He was throwing Luque off a little bit. Luque couldn't throw the leg kicks because Chiesa came out as a southpaw. Chiesa was doing everything right. Luque lands a right hand, stings Chiesa a little bit. Chiesa lands the takedown, and he has him in a rear naked choke. That thing is locked up, cranking away. Luque stays calm, cool, collected, gets out of it, and then he turns it around. Darce chokes Michael Chiesa and gets him to tap out in the first round. That was so ridiculous. Nobody saw that coming. Vicente Luque, man, he is a player. This is he is no longer exciting fringe top 10 guy.
He's been a player. He's been a player, and y'all have ignoring him.
In everybody's eyes. Now he's a top five guy knocking on the door of a title shot. Is it fair to say that Vicente Luque's stock rose more than anybody on this card tonight?
Well, outside of Gone. Yeah, I'll go Luque. Yeah. Jose Aldo was more one of those in case you forgot type things. But Luque, yeah, that was shocking how dominant he was. And not really dominant, but just he's just so dang. He's not just an exciting fighter. He's a smart fighter. He's durable. He does everything. Whoa. He can knock you out. He can submit you. He can wrestle. He's got it all. The only thing that's missing, unfortunately, for Luque is probably the most important thing, is he doesn't talk trash. And that's what the UFC wants. I'm sorry. I hate saying that out loud, but just minute for minute, one of the most exciting, all-action, high-level fighters in MMA, especially at welterweight. Oh. But I think with us journalists, we love Luque, but I don't know how far he jumped ahead with the promotion. I don't know if Dana is like going, oh, we got to get Luque. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm going to up that ante, Casey, for what you just said, because I have been banging.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though?
No, for sure. But I have been banging this drum for years now. I have been on this Vicente Luque train from the very, very beginning. And at this point, it's fairly ridiculous to me that we had to reach this point. Because I think what you just said, Casey, I think if you did an experiment, you lined up 100 just diehard MMA fans all in a line, and you just went one by one, asked them to name the most violent welterweight on the UFC roster, like the most exciting welterweight consistently on the roster, I think there's a huge, huge chance that Luque's name would maybe come up like a couple times. At best. And all of those other answers would just be wrong. Like, as Uriah Faber likes to say, you got to check the record, bud. Because this dude at this point is just guaranteed ultra violence every time he steps in the octagon. Yes. At this point, it's absurd. 14-2 with 13 stoppages over the last 16 fights. If Vicente Luque wins a fight, it is the closest thing that you get to just absolute madness. Every single time out. And his only losses over that stretch are Leon Edwards and Stephen Thompson. So at this point, like, this has to be the one that's going to get people to understand. And it feels like this might have finally been the one. Because I actually like what the UFC did here. When he lost to Stephen Thompson, usually when top five, top 10 contenders lose that type of fight, where he lost pretty bad to Stephen Thompson. I mean, that was it was not a one-sided fight, but Stephen Thompson definitely won that fight. Usually at that point, the UFC would then feed him to somebody else, and then you get a losing streak going, and then maybe you're out of contention. But I like that they let him go down a little bit and feed on some of the lower-tiered welterweights, guys like a Nico Price, a Randy Brown, even like a late-stage Tyron Woodley, who's kind of obviously going into retirement at that point. Like, they really let Vicente Luque get his consistency back, get that momentum back, and start feeling himself again before they sent him back up to the Wolves now. And we saw it tonight. He came in here so confident against Michael Chiesa, and he just ran through him. I mean, that finishing sequence was absurd. No one submits Michael Chiesa that fast, and Vicente Luque just did it. To me, this has to be the one where people realize. And it felt like even Dana White in the press conference admitted as much of just Vicente Luque is someone who's going to matter now in this title contention. He's someone who's going to be a main player. I don't see how you could watch this man and deny him that at this point. Like, he has to be it.
I hope you're right.
This question was asked to Mike and I think in the Q&A earlier today, whose stock was going to rise the most. And I actually do think Luque, even with the Gon winning the way he did, I actually do think Luque, his stock rose the most relative to where he was. Because I think Gon, he's in a title fight, so he just raised his stock from interim title contender to now.
80% chance of beating Ngannou.
Well, I mean that's nothing. But I mean, to undisputed title contender. Luque, for whatever reason, we know why. We said no trash talk, whatever. Has lost some key fights here and there. But it just isn't viewed as a world title contender in people's eyes for some reason. But after tonight, I think he had the right call out. Very respectfully called out Usman, won in definitive fashion. I think his stock rose relatively the most compared to anyone else that competed tonight. So I'm totally on the Luque bandwagon in that sense. And by the way, if anyone's asking like who knew how this fight would turn out this way, he kind of did. He said, I think it was at the media day, like If Chiesa brings this ground fight to the ground and thinks he's just going to dominate in the ground, he's got another thing coming. He's like, I'm more than happy to grapple with him. And I think Luque is, I don't know if he's a black belt. I think he's maybe like a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. But I think he's one of those brown belts where it's like, he just hasn't put in the time that you need to, like, you know what I mean? He trains in other things. He just hasn't gone through the processes to become a black belt. For like all intents and purposes, if you watch this guy, again, you watch this guy fight, you watch the submissions he locked on. This guy's a black belt level, like, submission fighter, at least in MMA. I would bet he's in MMA. He'd out grapple a lot of other, actual black belts. I think he's really, really good. So his submission skills definitely, I think, surpass whatever his official belt status
well,
is.
Well, the fact that he submitted Chiesa with really no ground strike. I mean, I thought maybe if he did submit Chiesa, it would be after the result of some serious ground and pound. But this was straight up jiu-jitsu.
He got out of a submission first. Mm-hmm. Chiesa had him in trouble. I think Luque, if you looked in his eyes when Chiesa was trying to lock it up, even Luque was kind of like, oh, shit.
Luque had to respect.
This is fun.
Respect the choke that was mm-hmm. in. And he did. And then Chiesa made just that slight mistake and just kept his head out there just for that one moment. And Luque is
that's the thing with Luque, man. That slight mistake, you cannot make that slight mistake. He will jump on the first thing you give him, and he will take as many risks as possible to get to that spot. I love it, man. It's guaranteed action. He is the nicest, most delightful man in person, too. Like, it's so silly that it has taken this long, but I feel like it did happen.
Was that Jeremy's article of, like, him holding a baby?
Guillermo, I
saw that photo. I was like, that's the cutest. I was like, that's Vicente Luque. I was like, he murdered
AK,
people.
I know you're kidding with the give him a title shot, but I'll be honest, like, I'll be straight up. He deserves the title shot in this division much more so than Colby Covington, and much more so than really anybody else outside of maybe like a Leon Edwards.
That was true before tonight. We all understand. Look, this is the epitome of what we're talking about tonight. Why does a Colby Covington get a title shot? Why does Luque not get a title shot? Covington talks a lot. He talks a lot. He struck some sort of chord with the MMA fan base. He had the rematch. He had the first fight, which is very exciting to play off of. That's fine. That's why it's not like some huge travesty.
Every UK fight's exciting.
Yeah, but if we're just talking about qualifications, wins and losses, Luque's ahead of Covington. Leon Edwards, like, Chiesa was ahead of Covington. If we're talking about wins and losses going into this fight, but so it is. Hopefully, Luque does have the luxury now of just waiting for his title shot, whether he's next or not.
He absolutely does not have that luxury. He absolutely does not have that. He is, but I do feel as if he is one fight away. Like, he's maybe like a Leon Edwards fight away from Gilbert Burns. They wouldn't fight Gilbert Burns because they're teammates, but like a Leon Edwards fight away from doing that.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Gilbert Burns for cornering Vicente Luque and then celebrating like he himself won the title. It's literally like another dude who's now in his way in his own division. Like, we all must hope to have friends as good as Gilbert Burns. Like, that dude is a gem out there, man. He was legitimately so happy for his buddy to do this.
Yeah. And when I spoke with Gilbert Burns after the Thompson win, Gilbert said he's in no rush to get back to the title. He wants it against Usman. He doesn't care if it takes 10 fights to get there. He will just fight and win and get back there. And I think that's just a great way to approach it. Real quick, before we pretty much run down the rest of the card and say goodbye, Sean, did you like Luque's call out? Do you feel like he wasted a call out there calling out Usman? Back to the Nate train? You loved it?
No, I love it. He's not going to get any Diaz fight. Like, for Vicente Luque, what was important tonight was to let people know, A, I'm someone, again, who matters in this division, but also B, like, I'm someone who deserves to be in this conversation when we're talking about potential opponents for Kamaru Usman. So, like, that was what his job was to, at the end of that fight, let people know, you need to be talking about me. Regardless of whether you like it or not, I deserve to be in this conversation, and I feel like he did that. So I thought it was a great call-out.
Yeah, he's in such an interesting spot right now. Go ahead, AK.
As Roxanne Modafferi once said on The Ultimate Fighter, shoot for the moon and you'll land on the stars. Listen, so shoot for the Usman. Shoot for the Usman. You may land on a Diaz. So a very good call out by Vicente Luque.
But stars are way farther than the moon. So that's like distance wise.
Are you? This came from
not all of them, though. Not all of them, though.
There's lots of moons.
There's some close stars, too.
Okay, all right.
Don't question Roxy's homespun wisdom. Don't you dare, EKC Lydon. Don't you dare.
This performance tonight, I actually think he's a very good shot at getting that Nate fight. I think Nate woke up and was like, I want to fight that guy. Well, I think there's a very good chance he gets that fight. And I think that's probably the best thing for him, right? I think it's the best thing that could happen to him right now.
Sign me up for that. His name.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's the best thing that can happen, because I think they'll go with Gilbert and Leon. And then, I mean, what do you do? Just does he fight Wonderboy again and try to avenge that loss? He's ranked one spot above him in the UFC kind of fake rankings, not the MMA Fighting Global rankings. But you know what I mean? Like he's just in a weird spot where he's like either going to have to fight behind him or he's going to have to shoot for a Masvidal or a Diaz and hope he can land one of those fights. But I think he's got a real good shot at Nate in getting his attention. So if I'm him, go for that. Get that rub go for the title.
Real quick, guys. Global rankings preview. Would any of you guys put Gon over Miocic now in your rankings?
I'll have to think about, and that's saying something.
It's weird.
I haven't thought about it until right now, but probably okay. No.
He was tied for fourth in our rankings, tied for fourth with Curtis Blades. So would you put him all the way up to two?
I would.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm not locking you in. Casey, I'm not locking you in. We don't, you know, we'll find out next month what the official rankings are. I'm not locking you in, but I was just curious.
Yeah, just from the dominance of Ola Gon's wins. I don't recall him losing more than 30 seconds of a round.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and if Stipe and Derek Lewis fought tonight, Stipe might have won. I don't know, but if he would have won, there's no way it would have been that dominant.
What? How can you? Jesus Christ. The short-term memory of everybody in MMA.
I'm sorry, Mike. I apologize. It's my fault. Let's save it for the
ranking show that hasn't come out yet.
The short-term memory of everybody in this sport is crazy to me.
I didn't pick Gon over Ngannou. I'm picking.
But you just said that you didn't think Stipe could have beaten Derek Lewis convincingly. Like, come on, man. What do we do? Stipe Miocic was the greatest heavyweight of all time, months ago.
I'm on the Jed train. Jed's crazy, but Jed was right about Stipe.
We're going down the rabbit hole. Blame this guy. We got a long time till we actually vote. I'm just stirring the pot. I can't help it. I'm a pot stir.
Yes. There will be a ranking show. So buckle your damn seatbelts for that show. Cause God, I don't even know if I could be on that show. I might actually have to just watch from afar.
Friendships are going to be destroyed on that show is what's going to happen.
We need like a heart rate monitor.
At some point, I'm going to say something to either Casey or Jed that I deeply regret, like afterwards, of like, hey, I'm sorry, man. I didn't actually mean that.
Yeah, there's going to be some private Slack messages after all of these shows.
I'm sorry, man. I apologize.
Yeah, God. I do want to shout out the rest of the winners of tonight. Tisha Torres, great performance over Angela Hill.
Best performance.
Song Yadong. Not even 24 years old. It'll be 24 years old in December. So much room for that guy to grow. How about Rafael Fiziev? Good Lord. Oh, this guy is a straight killer. What a great fight that was.
Fight of the night. I called it.
Vince Morales gets a win. Alonzo Menafield gets a win. Jessica Penne, congratulations to her. Big finish over Karolina Kovalkiewicz. She got 50 Gs. Manel Cape would have got 50 Gs had he not missed weight. That was a sick flying knee. Miles Johns, he got 50K. For that beautiful knockout in the third round. I got that one perfect. Melissa Gatto, good win for her. Johnny Munoz Jr., I got that one perfect too. But then everything just collapsed for me. Moving on. So congratulations to all them.
Technically, I won if we're going by topology scoring system.
You got the most points?
Barely. I think I literally won by 25 points.
All right. Congratulations.
But we actually had a four-way – if we're just going by picks, we actually had a four-way tie with everyone picking nine. A much better showing than our UFC Vegas 33 selections.
Yeah, and I was the basement dweller just sitting there all by myself. Everyone's all hanging out and tied for first, and then there's little old me with seven correct picks like a jackass. Unbelievable. After a 4-0 start and two perfect picks,
You started off so good.
See, I know the prospects. I apparently don't know anything else about the Wiley vets, but
your time will come. Your time will come, Mike Heck.
yes, these guys will all get to Wiley vet status and I'll be way ahead of all of you. But I think that's it. I think we have talked about this card enough. AK, you and I are going to talk about this card more. I can't even begin to tell you how many DMs I've gotten already with matchmaking picks. So we might be in for like an hour and a half show tomorrow. Easy coming out of this one. But I will say a little teaser. My Derek Lewis next fight might ruffle some feathers, AK. That's what all I got to say.
Oh, what a tease.
But you'll have to find out sometime tomorrow when that gets released, and then a Monday on the website. But we're getting out of here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for following along all week long for UFC 265, for AK, for E. Casey Lydon, for Sean Alshadi. I am Mike Heck. Play softball, kids. You'll learn about athletics.
Practice is the real game. Practice is the real game.
Peace.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA. For new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.